Great. Please be seated. Well, God bless you. Wonderful to be with you this morning. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to Jude, verse 25. Jude, second to the last book of the Bible. And we're going to be in verse 25. We'll start in verse 24. It says in Jude, verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Jude 25. Through Jude 25, we learn a number of wonderful realities about our God and Father. God is the one who has glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Amen. Here, this word amen in this context is an affirmation of certainty. It's certainly true that he is all of these things. God has majesty. He has greatness. God has dominion. He is one who has force, strength, superiority. God has power. He has the ability to do what he wants. Well, for how long does God have these things? Well, if we remember and read through the scriptures, it says in the King James, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." If we look at some of the critical Greek texts, it's actually more expansive. In the ESV, in most modern texts, it says, "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now, and forever. Amen." God is all those things before. He was before, he is now, and he will be forever. He is glorious, it says here. Glory is one of those words that is used in our modern parlance and used in the context of many things. Anytime we go to God and consider the things of God, we want to consider what the scriptures say about God, right? Because God gave us his scriptures so that we could know him, we could understand him. What glory means is something that something that attracts the gaze, the appearance of a person or thing which attracts attention, commands recognition. Right? What grabs our attention? What do we give recognition to? Here in Jude 25, we see that God has glory before, now, and forever. He is one who attracts our gaze. He is one that attracts our attention. He is one that commands recognition. He is brilliant. He is splendorous. He is glorious. Take a look at Romans chapter 11. And in Romans chapter 11, verse 32, it says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." God is glorious then, he is glorious now, he is glorious forever. He is one who attracts attention, right? Who told God what to do? Who loaned anything to God? He is one who attracts attention because he is God. He has majesty, he has dominion, he has power. God is glorious. Again, we see amen, right? A certainty. It is an affirmation of certainty that who is who God is. He has made himself so, right? He is the one who has made himself glorious. So let's turn to chapter 6. Seeing from the scriptures that God is glorious, he is one who attaches attention or commands recognition, how do we respond? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, God instructs the saints on what to do about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." The rest of that verse isn't in the critical Greek text, so we'll stop there. "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." God is glorious. He is one who attaches attention, right? He made the heavens and the earth. He is God. So the response of the born-again one, of the Son of God, is to glorify God. We are not to add glory. How could we ever add glory upon God? He is God. He made the heavens and the earth. Our response to who God is to glorify him. Right? To glorify. It would be to recognize, honor, praise the thing that is glorious, right? It is to give attention to that glorious thing. God is the one who is brilliant. He is the one who attaches attention, commands recognition. So the response of the born-again one, as God has instructed here in 1 Corinthians, is to give attention and recognition to that thing. God is to be our focus. He is what is to be grabbing our attention, right? Our eyes are to be upon him. This reality is of particular importance in light of the reality that this world is not our home, right? That's something I believe that the fellowship has been considering. This world is not our home, right? One should choose to put their attention, their recognition, their honor on that thing that they're a part of, right? If someone were to get really into, you know, the Uruguayan soccer league, right, and all their attention is on this, like, foreign soccer team, and they're talking all about it, you'd have questions, right? Are you Uruguayan, right? Like, are you going to go there, right? Why are you putting your attention on something that you're not a citizen of, they're not going to be participating in, that you're not a part of, right? Where are we, what are we glorifying? What are we putting our attention on? Where are our eyes? Is it on he who is glorious, or are we giving glory to men? Are we giving glory to the things of this world, the things that we are no longer a part of as sons of God? What do we glorify? What do we give our attention to? We are sons of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. And therefore, as it says, and God instructs here in 1 Corinthians, we are to glorify God, right? He is who is glorious. Therefore, our eyes and our attention are to be upon him. Look at Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, verse 5, it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus." Verse 6, "that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." As a body of saints, we could come together and put our attention, put our eyes, put our focus, recognize he who is glorious, right? We can glorify God, recognize him, put our attention and focus on him. Look at Romans chapter 1. Really interesting verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, and God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that there are no excuse. Right? There's no excuse to not recognize God. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. We who are here this morning heard messages from God. It's hard to kind of not recognize His power, recognize His glory when He speaks to you, when He gives messages to you, when you see the world that God created. And yet, look at verse 23. Verse 21, sorry. Because that when they knew God, they knew this glorious God, this magnifying God, what happened? They glorified Him not as God. How interesting. God is glorious, and yet a decision could be made to choose to not give attention to Him, to not recognize who He is. And these individuals referenced here were ones who chose not to do so, right? Giving glory to God, glorifying God, is a decision. Here, these individuals chose to not glorify God. They glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Isn't that amazing? Those two are together. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It is a decision to choose to glorify God, to put our attention, our eyes on the Heavenly Father. Here, individuals who knew God chose to not do so. The instruction that we considered in 1 Corinthians, the instruction from God in Romans, was to glorify Him, was to put our attention, our eyes, our focus upon Him. Well, how do we do that? How do we glorify God? In man's world, people glorify things in many different ways, right? They give recognition to people through awards, right? Through billboards, through signs, right? Wearing that sports team logo, right? You give attention to that thing. And in the context of man's world, that's fine, right? They can choose to do and glorify things in a different way, right? We're at the beach, and there's a plane flying with a sign of a popular alcoholic drink, right? They were trying to glorify that drink, give attention, focus to that thing by flying a sign over to it, right? That's how they chose to do it. When it comes to glorifying God, people have chosen many ways to do that. Signs, impressive structures. But as any of us who have been in a relationship know, if you want to glorify someone else, wouldn't it make sense to glorify them in the way that they would like? Right? You know, some person in a relationship would love to have their name on a Jumbotron, right? They would just love that. That would just be such a blessing to them. Others, my spouse, would find that mortifying, right? When you're looking to give attention to someone, you're looking to give recognition, right? Wouldn't it make sense, instead of coming up with your own idea of how to do so, to consider, how has that person told me they want to be recognized? How did they tell me how I should put my attention on them? Right? Otherwise, you might luck out and do the right thing, but as many of us have likely seen in relationships and other contexts, you might not. But how wonderful is our Heavenly Father to provide us the Scriptures to instruct us how to recognize Him, how to put our focus and our attention on Him. He is glorious. His desire is that we would glorify Him, and He has given instruction in His Scriptures on how we are to do so. So people could choose to do it in many different ways, and maybe it's successful, maybe it's not, but if we do it according to how the Scriptures say, how God has given us instruction to do so, then we're set, right? He told us how to glorify Him, how to give attention to Him. Why not do it that way? You're going to have a much better percentage of success, right? Instead of trying to choose your own way. So let's look at some of those things that glorified God. Look at Matthew chapter 5. And this is in the context of the Gospels, right, before Holy Spirit was made available. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, Ye are the lights on the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giving light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your God which is in heaven. Shining as a light, doing good works. Well, what are good works? Whatever we decide. No, right? The scriptures indicate what good works are, right? Walking according to what God has called us to be, right? Those would be good works, shining as a light and doing what God instructs us to do as born-again ones would give attention to God, right? Let's look if it's the same thing in our administration. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. So if doing good works, as defined by the scriptures, would give recognition to God, would give attention to God, in the Gospels, in our administration, let's see if it's the same. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having our conversation, our life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." In our administration too, one would give recognition to God, one would give attention to God by doing good works, right? By doing what the scripture instructs us to do. By doing so, we would give recognition to God. We're going to be back in 1 Peter in a second, but so you can leave a finger there, but let's turn to John chapter 15. Isn't it great that God instructed us how to glorify him? Otherwise, everyone would be doing it in any way they want, right? And claiming they're doing it for God. Well, he told us how to do it. So why not walk out according to the scriptures? In John chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified." Well, that's a good start, right? "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." That which gives God recognition, that which would give God attention, would get people's eyes on he who is glorious, would be if we bear much fruit, right? All of this is, of course, predicated on us giving God the glory, right? Us having the focus upon God. Right? If we do good works, then it's because of me, right? Oh, I have all this fruit because of all how good I am. Would that give recognition to God? No. But if we do good works, we say, oh, why'd you do that? Because of God? Because of what his word says to do? Then the recognition would be on God. If people see how blessed we are, if people see how provided we are, we see all of those things that God has done for us, and then we point to God, well, why? Why are you so blessed? Why are you so cared for? Because of God, right? That would glorify him. If we say, it's because I'm great, right? That would not give attention. That would not shift eyes on our Heavenly Father. So here, if one would do good works, well, where are we at? We're at John 8, right? If one would bear much fruit, then the recognition, the focus would be on God, right? How many times have people seen, come up to you, why are you like that? Why do you have such peace? Why do you have such joy in your life? Why do you love people so much? Because of him, right? Then we glorify him. We get attention off of us and on he who is glorious. He who is glorious then, now, and forever, right? Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And in verse 9 it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone, any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How could we glorify God? Well, we could speak as the oracles of God. We could speak God's word, right? We can say what the scriptures say. Wow, that's really wise. Not me, him, right? We speak God's word. That would give God, that would glorify God. That would give recognition and attention to our Heavenly Father. Well, when we're walking within the body, when we choose to serve as God has given us, if we'd serve according to how God has instructed us to serve, right, that would glorify God, right? Because why are we doing it? Are we doing it because of us? Or are we doing it because of what he has done, right? We glorify God. Let's look at one more, Philippians chapter 2. One other way to glorify God. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him, the Lord Jesus Christ, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. We could glorify God by recognizing the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? All of this comes down to he who does the most, right? God is the one that does the most. We recognize him, right? And he has made Jesus Christ Lord. And by recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord, which, you know, if someone's Lord, you follow what they say, then we would glorify God. We would give the recognition, attention to he who deserves it. Right? So as sons of God, heirs of salvation, we should glorify God. Our attention and our focus should be on him. Let's look at two more things. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sounds a lot about like glorifying God, right? If you're going to give your attention to something, if you're going to recognize the greatness of something, the splendor, the brilliance, that would require putting it on in your mind, right? If you are going to choose to glorify God, that would require thinking about God. Right? Casting down those other things, not giving them attention, not giving them recognition, but instead glorifying God, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Would that take effort? Would that take mental discipline? Yeah. But he is who is glorious. He is who should have the attention. He is he who should have the recognition, as we have seen. And his instruction is to glorify him. And to do so, we can bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, casting down all those other things. Let's close in Psalms 123. Psalms, Old Testament, Psalms 123. God is the one who is glorious. We choose to recognize that by glorifying Him, giving our attention and focus on the Heavenly Father, having our eyes up, right? Not glorifying the things of men. We are not of this world, right? So why focus on the things of the world? Why give that attention? Why give that focus? Instead, we glorify God, right? Our Heavenly Father. There's a really wonderful verse on the mental choice in doing so in Psalms 123, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Unto thee," verse 1, "I unto thee lift up mine eyes, to thou that dwelleth in the heavens." It's a good start. "Behold, as the eyes of the servant look upon the hands of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden upon the hands of their mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He have mercy upon us." What a wonderful verse. In here is a Orientalism, is a reality of the practice within the biblical times of servants and masters. In the lands and times of the Bible, a servant served, and they would stand ready to do the instruction of their master, and their eyes would be on that master. And they would have worked together, so if that master, you know, gave a hand signal, they knew that that's the time to bring the next course, or it's time to fill up the water, right? They would have their eyes on the hands of the master, so when that master made a signal, right? You see that today in baseball, right? Where's the eyes of the runner, right? Third base coach. So when they gave that signal, they knew to run, right? Lands and times of the Bible, the servants worked with the masters with their eyes on the master, right? So when that master made, gave instruction, they would do it, right? The mistress would have their eyes on their master, and they would look, and when that master gave instruction, they would do it, right? Their attention, their eyes, their focus, their recognition was on the master or the mistress, right? Let's read that again. "Behold, as the eyes of the servant look upon the hand of their master, and the eyes of the maiden upon the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He have mercy upon us." Right? He is who is glorious. He is who is glorious. We should glorify Him with our attention and our focus on Him. Right? We can glorify Him through our words. We can glorify Him by serving within the body as He is instructed. But we can glorify Him through good works. We can glorify Him by recognizing the good fruit, right? The fruit that we bear. And we can bring every mind to Him, every thought to Him, right? And as that servant, as that maiden, our eyes, our focus, our recognition is on the Father. And when He gives instruction, then we do it, right? Our focus and our eyes are up and on Him. And that would make sense in light of who we are and what He has done. All right, that's what we want to consider. Sure. Well, wonderful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for giving us Your scriptures. Thank You, Father, that we could consider them and know how to walk. Consider them, Father, and have all that we need so that we could walk out in the realities of what You have made us to be. Thank You, Father, for all that You have done through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You that You have made so much available for us. Heavenly Father, we ask what we can do for You. Please show us, Father, how we can serve You, how we, Father, can be about the things of You. Father, we're so thankful for that which You have done. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right.